I'm going to continue with this somber note. Ryan has been going through 2 Peter, and that has been sobering. But I've been teaching the children during first hour, and we've been going through the Minor Prophets. And there was a particular book that jumped out at me when I was teaching, and that's the word that I want to bring today. But to do that, to explain why I chose this book, I kind of have to confess some sin before you all. There's periods of life, you know, there's mountaintops and then valleys where you get low. And I've been sad and low for many different reasons, many different ways in my life. But you know, the end of this year and the start, end of last year, start of this year, it was particularly hard. You know, not it could have been harder, of course, but it was hard for me because of school and then the holidays, getting together. That can be fun and everything, but that's also stressful and a lot of work. And so I just felt myself slipping into a mindset of apathy. And I think apathy is an extremely dangerous thing. Apathy is actually defined as a lack of interest or concern. Another word for apathy would be indifference. And I knew I was slipping into apathy because I just started deleting all the productive apps on my phone and started just downloading game after game after game, so that in my spare time I wouldn't be productive, waste time. And I felt myself doing that, and I knew that it was dangerous because, you know, there were other times in my life before I was here at the church. I know that indifference, that lack of concern, can be extremely dangerous. It almost just not caring to put in effort really almost destroyed everything. I'm thankful the Lord brought a word to me at the time that I desperately needed it, and I want to share that. I think that the Christian life has two main components. There's rest and fruitfulness. And I think it's easy for us to slip into a state of apathy and think, oh, this is just rest, right? I need to rest in the Lord. I'm going to veg out. I'm going to download a book myself, and that's dangerous. That's dangerous. The rest in the Lord is done the work. That he did it. That I don't have to earn my salvation because the Lord has done the work for me. And that's different than not caring. Not caring is dangerous. It's also, so apathy is different than rest. And apathy is extremely dangerous to productivity, of course. And it's unlike other ways that are dangerous to productivity. There's other things that are, ignorance can be combated through an education, I think, does little to fight against apathy. The only person in the room that has ever felt apathetic towards things. Okay, that's encouraging, especially when the mic's going distracted by that. You want me to do something else? I could take this mic. It only happens with me.
It does. There's this, something about your personality, so.
Yeah. Oh, over top.
Yeah, there we go.
Stop.
That way, maybe with two, we'll get you. There you go.
And we don't care about that.
Thanks, guys. So let's just jump into the book. The book that helped me out was Haggai. So if you turn there with me, it's really close to the end of the Old Testament. And as you're turning, I'll select a few particular passages for us to read to give us a overall feel of this book. But for your mindset, you got to remember this is at the end of the Old Testament. This is after the Babylonian exile. So this is where the people are returning from captivity for like 70 years or so around there. We know that the exile, you know, where they were taken out of Jerusalem, happened in 587 BC. In 538, Cyrus the Great
permitted the Jews to return to Jerusalem for a particular reason, and that was to rebuild the temple. And for historical setting, we can just look at the book of Ezra. We're not going to turn there right now, but Ezra, basically chapters 1 through 6, outline the historical context of the book of Haggai. Haggai was giving words to these particular people. So for background knowledge, we could turn there. But this particular book and the events that are described here are happening in 520 BC. And so I'm gonna read some verses. First verse gives us the whole context, but let's start Book of Haggai chapter 1 and verse 2, and it says this. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. It is a time for you yourself to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins. And that's the problem. That's the word that the prophet is speaking to the people. And it's this, that the people who just came out of exile, which was a punishment for them not humbling themselves and listening to the Lord, they were sent into exile. They've come back. The Lord was with them in exile. That's what we learned when Brian was going through the book of Daniel. They come back to the land. The Lord is good to them. They're going to rebuild the temple. And what do? They face discouragement from outside oppression. Obviously, people were in the land, and those people didn't want them to build the temple, so they were making the process of building the temple difficult. And also, just, they were worried about themselves. They were there with a task, and then they were like, well, if we're going to build this thing, we got to build homes for ourselves. And they were focusing all their time and effort on building their own homes, focusing on themselves and not the task which was in front of them. Now, obviously, that's what was happening in their context, but can we apply that to ourselves? I think certainly. I think many of us, when we first became Christians, were saved from exile to God, right? We were enemies, and the Lord saved us. We accepted his mercy, and then we read the scriptures, and we saw the mission we were to be on, the commission that Christ has given to build the temple of the Lord, which isn't a temple like we see physical place, but the temple is built with living stones. The temple is called the church, right? So we've been put on mission to build the church, which isn't a building, a physical building like this, which is important. We have a building out of necessity and convenience, and it helps us to be more productive. But the building of the church is about human beings. They're living stones, right? And sometimes we get so focused on what Matt wants or what you want and focusing on our personal needs that we don't focus on the house of the Lord, right? So I think this is a book that's very applicable to our situation, but not necessarily apathy. Apathy is coming next, okay? We're in a few verses. So let's keep reading. I'm going to jump down to verse 8. And this is where the Lord, thus says the Lord, consider your ways, and it says this, go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house. This is the temple, the house of the Lord, that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. And that verse right there gives us the purpose. Man, why do we build the house of the Lord? It's for the Lord to be here and be glorified. I can't think of a greater reason for us to be about work, to be about productivity. Yes, the Christian life is about rest. Yes, Christ's burden is light. But we have been given a purpose, and that purpose has a great reason behind it. It's for the Lord to be with us. That when we gather for communion, when we gather for fellowship, we're not gathering by ourselves, but our Lord, our Savior, God is here too. and he is here to be glorified. When Howard leads us, or anyone leads us in worship, to sing and proclaim, that's to glorify our God. That's a mighty thing. Let's keep going in the passage. All right? We're going to go faster. We're going to go faster. So I'm going to go jump down all the way to, verse 13 in chapter 1. Right before there, it tells us that the people heard this message and they feared the Lord, which is another way of saying they heard this and they're like, we accept that. Okay? We humble ourselves. We fear the Lord. And then it says this, the Lord is with them, declares the Lord. You see that? I am with you, declares the Lord, which is an amazing truth. That's something that we can take with us here now, that we have the Lord. And then jumping all the way to chapter 2, I'm going to start in verse 3, and I'm just going to start to read. This is where we're going to get to the apathy part, the really dangerous part. So chapter 2, I'm jumping to verse 3. This is after they've started to rebuild the temple. They said, we hear you, Haggai. We're going to obey your message, and we're going to start to rebuild. And so they go, and they rebuild. And this is, in Ezra, it's described as Zerubbabel. He is the leader. He helps them with that process. And then in verse 3, the Lord says this, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it as nothing in your eyes? And that's the problem. So the Lord is asking, who saw the first temple, the temple that Solomon built? If you have, you remember the glory of the good old days, the glory of the first temple, and how it was covered in gold, and it was just so big and magnificent. And then the people come back from exile, and they get about the business of God. They start serving the Lord and working, physically working to rebuild the temple. And apathy sets in because they see the work of their hands, and it is, as the text says, nothing before their eyes. It is only a fraction of the glory that was there before. And that's where the frustration hits. That's where the tiredness hits. That's where the apathy starts to sink in, and it gets difficult. And the Lord, our God, our Savior, has words for us in moments of apathy, and it's this. Starting in verse 4, it says, be strong, be strong, be strong. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. According to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit remains in your midst. Fear not. Wow. Fear not. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former glory. Amen, I say, says the Lord of hosts. I added that last part, sorry. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. So we can see that the people first came, they got busy with the work, but then they got distracted with themselves and their needs. And then the Lord rebukes them and says, be about my work. And so they get to it and they start, but it isn't as glorious as they thought it was going to be. And then the Lord says, no, stick with it. Be strong, because I promise you the glory of the temple that you're building will be more than the first. Now, if we stopped there, we could say so many things that are encouragement just to say, yeah, you know what? Be strong. You know, remember your Lord. And I think that would be good enough. But when we look at this, and then we remember that Jesus perfectly fulfills the whole Old Testament, and we look at the Old Testament through the New Testament's eyes, and we start to see the fulfillment of these promises, and that's when it gets really encouraging. And that's where I think it's super duper helpful for us here now, those that are experiencing trouble with apathy. So my time is almost up, but I have three awesome points. And they're this, and it's my best advice. Number one, when dealing with apathy, and let me step back from apathy because that's my focus, but I think this can be applied to all things that we struggle with in a fallen world, right? This week for Brian and Lucy and me, and I think everyone, this week has been super tough. Last week, I know this is like what the big focus has been on, but Kobe died, and so social media was full of that, and so there was sadness all over social media. We had people here pass away, and that was difficult. We had cars going down. We had computers busting, and so there's fear, there's sadness, there's all these things, and so the next three bullet points, which comes directly from this book, can be applied not only to apathy, but I think so many things. So listen, first thing to help living in a fallen world, dealing with apathy and other things, is that we focus on the promises of God. You see that in the text in chapter 2, verse 5. He says, "Be strong, be strong, be strong." Why? "According to my covenant, according to my promise, which I made way back then." And we, in the New Testament, we have amazing promises in the Lord, right? We have a promise that he goes before us to create a place for us. He has a promise that the blessings of the new heavens and new earth and being present with the Lord, that's great, and that's what we're looking for. But there are promises here and now in our lives to be able to overcome evils, overcome sin, overcome apathy, overcome all these things, and be fruitful and show a dying world what the Lord looks like, right? To show a dying world that there is power in the Lord, that there is, the Lord that we serve is righteous, holy, and good, and we as image bearers can reflect that with the power of the Lord, with the Holy Spirit. These things are possible. These are promises that we've been given, and so to overcome apathy, while encouragement and education is good, but remembering the promises of God, that is one of the most powerful things that we can remember. Amen? Okay. Number two, what we need to remember, what the prophet Haggai, he would put it, we need to remember the power of God. I would put it this, because we're living in the New Testament. Let's remember the power of the gospel. Power of God, power and gospel, synonymous. But the power of the gospel can make dead people come to life. The power of the gospel can make the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. It could take a young man, I'm talking about myself, who is so self-interested, who didn't really think of the Lord, and then transform him into someone that can serve and be about the business of building the church. And he doesn't just do that for me. He doesn't just do that for Brian. He doesn't just do that for Howard. He does it for the church. The gospel is the churches. It's the message that we all take to the world, that our Savior came. He lived the life we couldn't live on our behalf. He died the death that we deserve on our behalf. And that's the greatest exchange that can ever occur, only through faith, which is a free gift. You don't do works to earn it. It's something that you receive. You open your hands. You can only receive a gift open-handed, and you receive it. And that's the greatest thing that we could ever talk about, period, right? And that helps us to overcome apathy and fear and anxiety and sadness. Now, rest is important. Now, it's okay to be sad and all that kind of stuff, but the Christian life is that of fruitfulness, and we're called to that. Just like in Haggai's day, they were called to be about building the temple so that God could be with them and he can be glorified. Last thing I want to talk about is we've talked about the promises of God, remembering. We talked about the power of God, but also I want to briefly talk about, as we close here, the purpose of the church. We can talk about the gospel, we can talk about the power of God and his promises, but if we're not focused on what the church is, then things can get out of whack, right? We have not been called to rebuild a temple like Haggai and Zerubbabel and Joshua and all the people at that time were called to do. They were called to rebuild the temple. Instead, we are called to build the church, the living stones of this new temple, which is the body of Christ. Jesus is here with us, but he is seen through his people. He is seen in this world through the hands and feet, which is you and I. He is seen through the ears and the mouthpieces. He is seen through when we look at each other and we have fellowship with one another, and we don't just exist here, but we go out into the world. And those three things, the promises of God, the power of the gospel, the purposes of the church, that the church is here to come together, to serve one another. We all have different gifts, and that serves the body to be effective, but not just to sit there and play games on our phones, but to go into the world and proclaim the gospel in the power of God, because God has promised that he would be with us, and we can overcome Satan and the demons, and their tactic for victory is not that they have ultimate victory. Understand that when Satan and the demons and the powers, the principalities, their goal is just delay. That's victory in their eyes, is just delay. Delay as long as possible. And as long as we are apathetic, the church is apathetic and okay with just a little evangelism, or just you take care of that, or just a little bit, then our enemy wins. And we can't let the enemy win, because we've been commissioned. We have a mission. We have a purpose. Let's pray for that. All right? Our Lord and our God, we're thankful that every Sunday we come together to glorify you, to remember your promises and your covenants. Lord, we pray that you help us overcome our fears, our anxieties, our sadnesses. You give us rest when we need it. But Lord, you also help us to be productive and fruitful. Help us to remember. Help us to be effective. Lord, bless Howard, Jasmine, their family to be effective. Help us as they leave to be effective as well. We love you, Lord, but most of all, we love you because you loved us first. We love you because you sent your son to die. You didn't hold that back. You did not become apathetic, but you cared. You cared for us. Help us to live lives that are thankful for that. Go before us this week. Help this week, this upcoming week, to be just a little bit easier than last week. We say these things in Jesus' name, amen.